This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call or send us an email to talk sports with us. We'll be giving away tickets to the Eastern Michigan game coming up on Saturday. So give us a call or register for your chance to win tickets at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517. But first off, we're going to talk with our good friend Joe Rexroth from the Detroit Free Press. Talk about that very disappointing loss by the Spartans over the weekend. And so it was a didn't do much against the Irish. So let's bring in Joe Rexroth, and we're going to review the game with Michigan State and Notre Dame. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm good, Earl. How about yourself?
Yeah, okay. I'm a little disappointed about that loss. I mean, I didn't see that one coming. Did you see it coming? I know Notre Dame's a good team, but I didn't think they were as good as they were, but they definitely surprised me how well they played.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it coming. Actually, I was thinking back. I don't know anyone who covers Michigan State who picked Notre Dame. I don't know anyone who covers Notre Dame who picked Notre Dame. I don't know anyone national who picked Notre Dame. I think this was a big surprise to a lot of people, in two ways. One, you know, how poor Michigan State played and looked. I mean, I think obviously that was stunning. But I think, too, and, you know, I've gone through now and watched the game tape, and it's interesting listening to Kurt Herbstreit. At the end of the game, he's, you know, trying to hold himself back from saying, watch out for Notre Dame. And I tell you what, very disappointing for Michigan State. They got a lot to work on, clearly. But I think this Notre Dame team is going to be unbeaten at Oklahoma in the top 10 on October 27th. And that would be a tough assignment, but I really like their defense. I thought their secondary would be vulnerable, but they were all over MSU's receivers. And, you know, the quarterback, he is, I think, could be a great player someday. He's a very interesting player. He's got a heck of an arm, and he can move around. I think as he gets experience, and they're going to be really dangerous.
Yes, I was impressed with him as well. I mean, that he threw that first touchdown. It would have been a touchdown. You know, he threw it over the receiver in the first quarter, almost on the first possession. I said, uh-oh. And he was pretty good the rest of the day. He was just a very good quarterback. As we know, Maxwell, he's definitely still got to develop a touch on the ball. He gets a touch on the ball. He'll be a lot better. And the receivers, as we said basically all year, they've just got to learn to hold on to the ball, whether it's thrown hard or soft. But they've got to hold on to the ball. Do a little bit better doing that.
Yeah, and definitely with Maxwell. I mean, you know, I think he's still fastball heavy, but you know, I thought he put an absolute perfect touch on that 28-yard pass to Benny Fowler in the first quarter. And you wonder how this game's different if Fowler just catches that ball. I mean, it's right in his stomach. That's a perfect pass, and you know, that would have tied the game at 7. And you can go through a lot of different plays in a game and say how it would have changed things. But after going through it again, honestly, to me, Maxwell is the least of this team's problems offensively. Yeah. You know, pass protection is number one. And then, you know, the receivers getting open and catching the ball consistently right after that. And, you know, that stuff has to happen to give him help. I think he's going to be fine. Fine if he can stand in the pocket and pass and if he's got some targets on there. It's going to be really interesting. Mark D'Antonio said after the game, you know, we got to make tough decisions, some tough ones, but we got to make them. I mean, I have to think he's talking about the offense and I guess about the receiver position, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm just going to be really interested to see who plays, who gets the snaps this week against Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, oh, that's for sure. Yes, because that offensive line has been disappointing. I mean, that was supposed to be one of the strengths of the team, and it hasn't been the strength. It's you know, even though we know that they faced a good team against Boise State and a good team against the Irish, but boy, they, you know, if they were as good as we, you know, we've been led to believe, they should be doing a lot better.
Yeah, I agree. Now, did Bo Finotti's broken foot hurt him the other night? Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, I think he's the best tackle. So that's a huge blow. And I think the biggest issues in that game were at the tackle position. So I also think Skylar Berkman, you know, that was Skylar Berkman's first full game of action since last year against Notre Dame when he, you know, fractured his leg and it was out. So I think he's got a lot of talent. I think he can be a very good player. But, yeah, overall, you know, some of the communication errors and mix-ups and just poor pass protection has been surprising. And you're right, it was supposed to be a strength. I think it still could be a good offensive line, but they've really got to stay healthy and they've got to get these five players working together. And then, you know, it's another thing for this week is that Blake Treadwell probably will be able to actually play in this game. So does Blake Treadwell start to figure more into the mix there?
Yeah, that's for sure. And also, we have to look at the defense. I mean, I know Pat Narduzzi's very aggressive, and, you know, they got him on a couple of those, you know, those plays where they go against the grain and cutback plays. You know, that worked against Michigan State. There were big holes there when they went to the other side. Do you think he might have to, you know, tone down his aggressive behavior, or will that still work? But I think that we might see more teams probably doing cutbacks and things like that to slow Michigan State down because they're so aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I don't think you're going to see much change. That's what Michigan State does, and more often than not, it's in the last couple of years, for sure, last three seasons, it's hurt. It's helped them more than it's hurt them. I mean, yeah, teams are going to throw stuff in to take advantage of that handback draw, which looked just like the couple plays DeAndre Cobb scored on Michigan in 2004. You know, I love that play. That worked for a 40-yarder one time, and you know, they had a couple other plays getting out of the pocket and making big plays downfield. But I don't know. Watching that defense, they got hit early and they gave up that draw play, and then the third quarter they absolutely allowed nothing. I mean, they gave the offense, you know, every chance they could give the offense to try to get back in the game. And then, you know, the big possession that really, I think, kind of ended the game was when Michigan State finally flips field position, gets them down at the four, and, you know, a couple mistakes on that first run for 9 yards, and then they have another huge run and end up kicking a field goal starting from their own four. So it looked to me like the defense got tired. All the guys after the game said, no, we weren't tired, but it just looked like a defense that was finally just not able to keep up the pace. But, I mean, overall, you know, you give yourself a chance playing defense like that in most weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yes, and that, you know, I've been looking a lot at Johnny Adams and, of course, DeQuez Denard, and boy, they're not they haven't been totally shut down for the most part. Yes, they make some mistakes, but boy, it seems like that when they make mistakes, it costs them just about every time. I mean, they play good most of the time, most of the games that we've seen them, but boy, when they make mistakes, they make some big ones.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they're the most obvious guys that you're going to see mistakes from, so. I mean, those guys are always – it's a lot easier to see that mistake than the defensive tackle's mistake. But, you know, I thought those guys were outstanding the first 2 weeks. And, you know, last week the guy leaked behind Adams for that first touchdown. He came back and almost made a play on it. You know, there was some soft coverage at times on Denard's side and gave up some plays. But, I mean, that's how Michigan State's going to play. Those corners, you know, they want to be aggressive, and so they're saying, look, you guys handle it out there. And so they're going to get beat sometimes, you know, but I still think that's one of the better parts of this defense, and I think they'll keep doing that. I think they'll keep daring teams to beat them downfield, and at times they will, but they feel like those are low-percentage passes. I mean, Notre Dame actually did have a couple other deep chances, but, you know, you got to make a perfect throw, and he overthrew those guys. So, I would still put those guys high on the list of strengths for this team and low on the list of issues. I mean, to me, you know, they're really missing Jarrell Worthy right now.
Yeah.
They're just getting no penetration in the interior.
Right.
And the defensive ends are getting in there and then they're making some plays. But if you constantly can keep that pocket intact inside and give the quarterback a place to stand and not, you know, tear things up in the inside. Jarrell Worthy, people would rip him and say he wasn't always great or took plays off, but, man, he made a few plays that would change the game, and teams would have to worry about blocking him, and then you open things up for others. And right now they just it doesn't look like they have anyone who can really, you know, really disrupt things inside.
Yes, and that could be a problem. I mean, you know, the game has changed so much now, and so you almost have to have every aspect of the game covered, because if not, other teams exploiting it, and of course Notre Dame exploited it Saturday, and that could be a problem later on. I mean, I don't think that Eastern Michigan is going to give them too much of trouble this week. You know, they'll try to attack them some ways, but I can't see Eastern Michigan doing much against the Spartans.
Yeah, you know, the weird thing about Eastern Michigan, if you watch that program, you know, Ron English has really, you know, done some good things there. And, you know, last year they've gotten physical, they've gotten a little better, and I really thought they would be a MAC contender, and they still may be. And I was even watching them last week, and, you know, they were competitive early in that Purdue game, and then they just totally unloaded on them, and you know, they got out of control. But no, I mean, I don't think they have a chance to win this game. I think they have a chance physically to, you know, maybe give Michigan State some kind of resistance, you know, more than you might think. But no, I mean, I'm sure Michigan State, I would expect Michigan State to come out with a lot of emotion. You know, you can talk about the angry football team, and try to get things on track. But the bottom line is, they can come out and physically beat up Eastern Michigan, but until they can, you know, protect, throw, and catch with any sort of efficiency, hey, they're going to have a hard time beating teams with good defenses.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, what do you think is going to happen with the Irish and Michigan next week?
Well, I like Notre Dame flat out at home at night. Now, you know, the one thing with Michigan is, you know, for one thing, Notre Dame's secondary is banged up. They lost another guy the other day, so you look at that. But I like their young guys. And the one guy who obviously can just change everything is Denard Robinson. I mean, does he squirt out of there and you know, take off for 60, 70 yards like he's done to them in the past? I mean, if they can contain him, make him a pocket passer like everyone tries to do, I like Notre Dame going away in this game, maybe. I mean, he's the one guy who can equalize things with some big plays. But I think Notre Dame is really good up front defensively. I think Sierre Wood, you saw the difference with him in the game last week. They're a better team with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'll be more in the mix this week. And I tell you, Golson, as he gets more comfortable, I think he could be a really good player. So I like Notre Dame at home at night, and I think they certainly want to get Michigan back for what happened last year.
Yes, I would say so. I think that Notre Dame will this time do a much better job against Denard than they have in the past. Yes, he's exploited them the last couple of times he's played them. But I think, you know, like all coaches do, they watch the other team. They had to watch the film of that Alabama game. They've watched Michigan State, how they handled Denard. So I think if they learned anything from those two games, and I think I'm assuming that they did, and they'll do a better job of holding down Denard.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think, you know, 2 years ago he ran all over, and that was sort of his coming out party. I mean, really, that was kind of like the first year of people saying, wow, is this guy a Heisman candidate? And, you know, he had a couple huge runs. And then last year, boy, he made some big plays late in that game downfield, you know, throwing the ball to Hemingway and things like that. So, I mean, look, Michigan, you know, they had one of their feel-good games last week. They beat up on UMass, worked on some things. But I don't know. I don't see them being able to just hand off to Toussaint and you know, control the ball that way. And they're going to put it all on Robinson. And unless he's able to make some heroic plays, I really like Notre Dame.
Okay, I'm with you on that one. I go with Notre Dame as well. Well, hey, Joe, it's always a pleasure talking with you, and we'll have to see a lot. I don't know. That's the thing against the Eastern Michigan game. You know, how do you judge just if they hold on to passes and everything? We know Eastern Michigan is not that, you know, isn't in Michigan State's caliber, you know, as far as – so what do you get out – what do you look to for them – what do you look to get out of that game?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think you still – hey, look, Eastern Michigan still has some fast guys who can run around in the secondary. And that's the thing about Mac, you know, Mac schools, usually they have some athletes. It's just they don't have the number up front, you know, and that's usually where the difference is. So, you know, I mean, I think you still – they're going to go out there and challenge Michigan State's receivers, and they've got to get better at getting open. at running good routes, at catching the ball. And so I think, you know, you're not going to be able to come away from that game and make any strong conclusions, but it is a chance for Michigan State to get better.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Joe, and we'll talk to you later. We'll see you. Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Thanks,
yep. Bye bye. And that's our good friend Joe Rexroad from the Lansing State Journal. So give us a call at 355-9527, or you know, give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Talk of the Nation provides you with the day's news and more, the experiences and opinions of people around the country and around the world. I'm Neil Conan. When you're looking for the latest news and how it affects you, your family, your neighbors, and your life, turn to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl. Here's the weather forecast. Our high today, 78 degrees, and it'll be mostly sunny. Look for rain tonight. We could get thunderstorms, too. The low, 51. Cooler starting tomorrow. Partly sunny with a chance of rain and a high of 62. Wednesday, sunny, the high 61.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Let's go to the phones, and hello, you're on the air.
Earl, how you doing?
Okay.
I tell you, your team didn't look like they were ready to play Saturday night.
No, well, the other team was just better.
Yeah, Notre Dame's a lot better than I thought they were, but I tell you, on that first drive they took, they had two guys wide open behind your secondary, and they caught the third one for a touchdown. Yeah. You better work on your secondary, but I tell you, you didn't get much of a pass rush either, like he was talking about.
Right, no, we didn't get much of a pass rush, that's for sure.
And your offensive line, I didn't think they blocked very good on opening any holes up for your running backs, and that quarterback's a little shaky, and when he did get the ball to him, your receivers dropped the ball too much.
Yeah, they did do that as well. I mean, yeah, that, you know, you're telling all the obvious things, so
right.
So yeah, we, you know what?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully you'll get better down the road here before you play Michigan, because you're going to have to play a lot better than that.
Oh yeah.
You know, you got things to work on, and maybe you took them a little too lightly. I don't know, but Notre Dame will find out for sure when they play Michigan this Saturday night, if they're really for real.
Oh yeah, I think they are for real. I mean, they were superior in just about a lot of areas. So that's a very good football team. Michigan's going to have their hands full.
Right, but it all comes down to turnovers too. You can't turn the ball over. If Notre Dame don't turn the ball over, they should be all right.
Yep. Hey, thanks a lot, Ray. But yeah, they should be all right. But we'll see. I mean, that's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to watching that game. I mean, a lot of people already think, of course, Michigan fans think they're going to win the game. So we'll see. It should be a good game. And some Michigan State fans will think Michigan should win the game. A lot of them will think that Notre Dame will win the game. So it'll be a very good team, very good game that is between two really good teams. Hey, right, let's go back to the phones. We've got Al from Perry. Al, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, how you doing today?
Okay.
Good. Hey, I had a question for you. First, I'd like to congratulate Brian Kelly. I think their whole coaching staff made nice adjustments in that game and really brought it to Michigan State. And with that being said, I'd like you to give a grade for the first three games for three particular coaches on that team. One is the offensive coordinator. Two is the offensive line coach, and three would be the receivers coach. Now hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you. Well, I would say the offensive coordinator is probably basically a C. I mean, they haven't done much in the scoring area. It's just been an okay game. I mean, Boise State was a little bit better than what I thought they were for sure. Notre Dame was of course was very much they're just a very good team. So I would say a C probably in basically for all three of them. They're trying to get better. I told some friends of mine that I was talking with you last night. They were saying some of the same things. Basically, they just got to get better. I said, they're working out. You don't get better in a day in football. Or a few practices. It takes time, and they've been working ever since the beginning of fall camp till now. So they will get better down the line. Now, how sooner will they get better? There's no way of telling. But I expect them to get better. I know the players expect to get better, and the coaches, they're coaching them. I know they're coaching them as well as they can, or as hard as they can. But the players have to get better. They do. There's no doubt about that. And if they do get better, then it'll be a successful season. I still think that Michigan State will probably win 8 or 9 games, but we'll see. But, I expected them to, that was one game, even though I predicted a victory, I wasn't surprised that Notre Dame beat them. I thought they could win the game, but boy, I was surprised at how well they played up front. I mean, I didn't expect Michigan State's defense. They got manhandled in some areas. They couldn't get any rush, pass rush, just like Joe said, up the middle or anything like that. It was just a tough game. So, we'll just have to wait and see how good they will they be in the near future. Hey, give us a call if you want a chance to win tickets to the Eastern Michigan game. Give us a call at 353-5000. Give us a call to register for tickets to win tickets to the Eastern Michigan game. 353-5000, area code 517. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM870 WKAR. So we're still trying to reach Lomas Brown. Don't know if we can. We'll try. Hopefully we'll get him on. He was out in San Francisco yesterday for the game, and so hopefully if we get him on, and we'll talk a little football with Lomas about the Detroit Lions. And he told me when we him and I were talking on the phone on Friday, and he said he didn't think they would win. They had a chance to win much at San Francisco. He just thought San Francisco was just really too dominant of a team for Detroit, and they were. It proved out that they were just too good for Detroit, that's for sure. So hopefully we can get a hold of Lomas, sometime during the hour, and, we'll get him on and talk sports with you right here on AM 870 WKAR. But what other things that you saw over the weekend that surprised you? Were you surprised by any of the pro games, by any of the Big Ten games? I think Nebraska – and their quarterback, Taylor Martinez, is definitely improved. I think that the defense will be better, for sure. It's still early in the year for most teams, and most teams still have ways to go. If you have a new quarterback or a young quarterback, that's going to be a problem, because they've got to do everything right. So that's they just won't. Most quarterbacks of young teams, or say it's a veteran team that has a young quarterback, it's going to be hard on them because they've got to learn to try to pick up the speed and get the speed real quick. So we'll have to see. Will the Spartans, or just like the Lions, can they get better in a hurry? I know we always want them to get better in a hurry. I mean, that's the way we are as fans. We want our team to get better and ready and play very good ball from the get-go. But, a lot of times that doesn't happen. So we'll have to see now. Well, I'll tell you one thing that is happening right now is that the Detroit Tigers are going down the tank. They're going down. I still think the Tigers have a chance to win that division. I mean, they've got 12 games at the end against Kansas City and Minnesota. I know that Minnesota gives them a tough time. Occasionally Kansas City does. But they're still on paper, they're better than both those teams. So if they can win and dominate them in those last two series, they can still win a division. It's surprisingly to say, but boy, I mean, that's the thing. Can this team really play well. They're a very poor defensive team. We can see that they've been a poor defensive team. They're not great at running the bases. And, you know, and some of the mistakes they make, you know, as far like yesterday, letting a runner score when he could have, you know, when the first baseman, when Prince Fielder could have maybe thrown him out or just held him close to the base. And they do a lot of, they don't do a lot of the little things well. And that hurts the Tigers. They just they mess up on a lot of those little things that they should do well, but they don't. You know, Prince is an okay first baseman. He's definitely not a great first baseman. He makes a lot of errors, but he not errors per se, but he just makes errors from the way he plays it, and that will have to be improved how he plays first base. So. You know, when you get the big boppers, and they got two of the best big boppers, but the big boppers can't help them in other areas, you know, in other areas of the game. I know a lot of times we forget that there are other parts of the baseball than just hitting and hitting home runs. You know, you have to run the bases well. You know, you have to hit, hit cutoff man and things like that. There's just so many other things in baseball that you have to do. And you have to be able to run well. And those two guys, they're not the best runner. They're not feet of foot Prince or Miguel Cabrera. So they've got a lot, this is amazing why they still got a chance to win the division. They still got a chance to make the playoffs. And, we'll just have to wait and see. Can they do it? I'm not so sure. You got Aaron over here today. Aaron, what do you think? Do you think the Tigers can make the playoffs still, even though they got 20 games left, and it's not looking good? They got a big game against Chicago tonight, but this is a team that they beat the best team in their division, some of the best teams in baseball, but they lose to the mediocre teams. It drives people crazy, and I'm one of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, start with today's game. Take one game at a time. Start with today's game. You know, it's a 2-10, so a game today. I think it's just the makeup game that, from the other night. So, if they win today, they're currently two games back. So if they win today, that's a full game. So then at that point, they're only one game back. And like you just said, though, that they have a lot of games against, teams that are lesser than them that on paper you would expect them to win. But as you just said, apparently they have trouble winning against the teams that they should be winning against.
They should be winning against, exactly.
If they figure that out, I think they win this division. It seems, though, that anytime they win, Chicago wins. Mm-hmm. They lose, Chicago loses. So they don't gain any ground. I feel like they've been at two and a half games for weeks and weeks and weeks now. They had that one spurt there where they were tied or maybe they were half a game ahead, but it went back to two. So, I think they can make the playoffs, but they're going to have to, they can't, for some reason, they just can't beat these mediocre teams that they should be winning against.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're putting too much pressure on themselves. They just go out and play their style. Your defense sometimes may let you down, but, if your offense is kicking, frankly, I think they can score enough runs that I don't think it matters how great your defense
was. And that's been
was.
The problem. They haven't scored as many, a lot of runs. I mean, they scored five yesterday. They should have won that game, scoring six runs, and they lost. So, it's a hard team to figure out, that's for sure.
Yeah, they are hard to figure out. And I don't know if someone's not stepping up in the locker room. I don't know what the case is. They got enough talent on that team to win these games and to win the division. So, like I said, if they get the win today, I like their chances. But if they lose today against Chicago, I frankly don't. That's not to say that they can't do it, but that's going to be tough to make up three because they don't play Chicago the rest of the season. Yeah, they don't play Chicago the rest of the season. So technically, that's six games really you have to make up because it's a half a game if you're not playing that specific team. So. And they're going to have Chicago lose some games. So
that's for sure.
And Chicago, they're no fluke. So, if they lose today, their chances go way downhill. But if they win today, it's one of those games where if you lose, your chances are very, very slim, I think. But if you win today, then your chances increase greatly. So it's a very, very important makeup game today.
Okay. Well, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Whether you have a question about baseball or about football, whether it be the Lions or Michigan State. I know, did you watch that whole Spartan game Saturday?
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to because I had a wedding to attend to. But I was able to catch the second half. Wedding wasn't real exciting, so we decided to leave. So I was able to catch the second half. And I think, I don't think we need to say much more about the offense. It just wasn't clicking.
No, that's true. It wasn't. But it better start clicking soon, that's for sure, because the Big Ten schedule is going to open up the week after this, and they open up against Ohio State, and that's going to be a tough game, no doubt about that. And then they'll have Indiana, which shouldn't be a tough game, even though Indiana, basically, is 3-0 right now? So they're a pretty good team. So it's just going to be a tough game against them. But, boy, we'll just have to watch out for the Spartans. And we got to watch out for the Lions, too, because a lot of people expecting a lot from the Lions this year. So after they're 1-1, which is no surprise, but do you still have high expectations for the Lions, or have you toned down your expectations somewhat?
No, I still have high expectations. I think they played pretty decently last night. Going on the road against San Francisco, it's a tough place to play. A tough place to kick as well, as Hansen found out. They had their chances last night. They just couldn't get the offense going. When you don't have a solid run game, Smith did okay. It's a little difficult, but I still have high expectations.
Okie doke. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And hopefully we can chit-chat with Lomas Brown for a few minutes, talk some sports with him right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, what we need from you is just to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. We come your way. No matter where you are in the state of Michigan, you can hear us, whether you're in Detroit, whether you're in Grand Rapids, in Jackson, Michigan. We're heard just about any place in the state of Michigan. So just give us a call. Talk sports with us. Of course, you can pick us up on your iPod or, and on any place. So just give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. Once again, we come your way each and every day. That's Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. And so we'd love to hear from you, love to hear your sports talk and things that you want to talk about in the sports world. There's a lot going on this week, a lot of things happening in the sports world, especially, football is at the top of the chart. They're the tops. So if you love your team or if you're disappointed about the way they played, give us a call and talk about it either way, whether you're satisfied with with how they played, or if you're not satisfied with how they played it, how they won the game or lost the game, whichever team that you root for or whichever team you follow. We're here to talk sports with you about any of those teams. Well, right now, we've got 39 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after a short break from AM 870 WKAR.
For her new book, Jean Marie Laska spent weeks in an Ohio coal mine, lived on an Alaskan oil rig, and rode along with a long-haul trucker in Iowa. And that's just the short list. The goal was to examine the lives of people we too often take for granted. I'm Neil Conan. Hidden America, from coal miners to cowboys, an extraordinary exploration of the unseen people who make this country. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It'll be mostly sunny today. Look for a high of 78 degrees. Rain in the forecast tonight, a chance of thunderstorms too. Look for a low of 51. Tomorrow it'll be partly sunny and we could get rain, the high Tuesday 62. Sunny with a high of 61 Wednesday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.com. www.ohiofmichigan.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Well, let's let you hear some cuts from the Spartan game on Saturday afternoon, and we also have some cuts to play you from the high school game that I was at on Friday night. I was at the Grand Ledge Okemos game. Grand Ledge had a very convincing victory against Okemos, and I asked their coach, Matt Bird, how did the defense fare in that game?
Defense did well. You know, the thing is you're going against a Hall of Famer. You know, Jack Wallace, he's done this in every game and every film we've watched. He's been able to move the football. You know, the nice thing was is we missed one tackle and we gave up the touchdown, and that was unfortunate. But, shoot, they put together a 22-play drive for that field goal. I mean, that's why Jack Wallace is in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best.
And then we also asked Jack Wallace about the speed. Is he satisfied with the speed that he has?
Well, you know, you always like to have more, you know, and we're trying to utilize kids and put them in situations to be successful. You know, our speed kids are also playing a lot of defense, and so we don't want to put too much on their plate because they're still young and developing. But the guys that have come in have done a great job, but we got to be great route runners because we're not going to outrun anybody from the wide receiver standpoint. But Joe gives us that spark up front to where he's quick. He might get beat in the 40, but he's quick in between the tackles, and that helps.
Okay, and that was Matt Bird, the head coach of Grand Ledge. Well, now let's turn our attention now to Michigan State and cuts from that game. I was in the locker room. We heard from Dan Roschauer, and he talked about how they were so young.
Yeah, we felt like we had to go in and make some big plays. I mean, that was certainly part of it. I think the second drive we go down there and we miss one into the end zone, and you know, you count on those guys making the plays. We didn't tonight. We'll evaluate it, and we'll have to continue to, you know, work at getting better. We've got a young, inexperienced wide receiver core, and tonight it just didn't go our way.
Yes, that's for sure. It's unfortunate some things didn't happen, didn't go Michigan State's way, that is, because they are so young and just a young, inexperienced team. And now Coach Roschauer talked about some of the other things that they weren't able to do.
Well, lack of explosive plays, you know, that's the first thing that jumps out. And, you know, we have to put the guys in better situation. I have to, and we'll go back and look at it. I thought early in the game we ran the football pretty well. We did not have field position. When we did move the ball down there, we weren't able to sustain to finish a drive. And, we'll look at all those things and see where we can get better.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. We've got Steve from Belding. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Earl. How you doing?
Okay.
I'm back here on my annual pilgrimage to Michigan State football from Arizona, and haven't watched the game tape yet, but I'm thinking Maxwell's catching a little too much heat for his game. I thought he played quite well. He drilled the ball sometimes into some tight places. There was legitimate non-catches because it was just too hard to catch it, but the sad thing, and he threw away the ball several times when he should have, it seemed like. The guys on the internet say that there's a lot of times the receivers are just not open, and rather than take a sack, he threw several of them into the stands on purpose. But you look at all the catches that weren't made that he put, some of them right on the money.
Yes.
Le'Veon missed two, I think. Caper missed a pass. Thomas had two low throws to him, and he caught one out of two. Seemed like maybe the other one was catchable. Deion missed one that probably he should have caught. Benny Fowler missed some major catches, which was a surprise. And Tony Lippett missed a catch, and it wasn't a surprise. Tony Lippett's just not catching the football, hasn't ever consistently caught it. And I hope the young man, you know, I support him. And he's going to make some great plays for Michigan State, but somebody else has got to get a shot at that receiver spot. Somebody that can hang out the ball. And then Andre Sims is supposedly the word on him. First guy picked in the spring draft. The word is that he can go over the middle and catch the ball, but he had one right over the middle that was right to him, and he missed it. So you look at – and then on top of all that, Maxwell was under pressure all day because the offensive line played terrible. This was a year that we – figured finally our offensive line is going to be good. And I understand, you know, I was at the Kellogg Center. I saw Fufanoti on his crutches. I thought, oh, boy. But yeah. But still, we should have the depth that we should have had a better game. And, you know, we're just not throwing the ball deep enough and getting those the defense back out of the box early enough. And so Maxwell is under pressure all day. He would have had some great numbers if those guys hadn't dropped those passes that were right to him. What do you and your callers think about that?
Well, yeah, I would say yes. He definitely would have had better numbers if they had held on to the ball. But I got to give Notre Dame a lot of credit. I mean, I've often said we never give the opposing team enough credit. You know, they play well. They got just like Michigan State and all the other teams in college. They want to win just as bad as you want your team to win. And Notre Dame just played a better game. Sure, they dominated most of the line of scrimmage. They were just better up front. They were faster, quicker, and they were strong. And sometimes you get games like that. You know, yes, they definitely should have caught more balls for sure. You know, when the ball hits you in your hands, you got to catch it. And they just dropped too many for sure. But Notre Dame had a lot, and they played well in the defensive backfield. They knocked down a lot of balls as well. So I give Notre Dame a lot of credit, a lot more credit than probably most of the fans do.
Yeah, you're right, Earl. But their defensive backs did play well, and they were supposedly the weak part of that defense.
Yes, that's right. That's what people have been saying.
And our DBs were supposedly national competitors, and they had they did a lot of trash talking out there, but they had a rough day on a couple occasions, and so. I mean, our whole team got beaten. Notre Dame's whole team played better. Their punter was incredible.
Yes, he was.
And of course, we had no chance to run a kickoff back because the guy booted out of the end zone every time. I just don't believe that Notre Dame team is that much better than us, that they dominate us again for two years in a row, and we only scored 3 points. I mean, we start right out the first drive. Before the drive, we get a 15-yard penalty for a late hit, and then the roughing the punter penalty that we committed, that really killed us.
It
and
did.
So we just made mistakes all over the field, and I just can't believe that Notre Dame team is that much better than us, that they would beat us and we only scored 3 points. So anyway, hey, thanks, Ron.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steve. Yes, you know, they were better than we were, no doubt about that. You know, yes, we should have scored more than 3 points. I mean, we should have scored more than 3 points, no doubt about that as well. But sometimes things just don't go your way, and things just didn't go Michigan State's way on Saturday night. And Notre Dame, they wanted to, to put it to Michigan State after last year. State has now lost two games in a row to the Irish. Little Giants 2 years ago, that was a great play for them, but that was 2 years ago. Now the last two games, Notre Dame has won it. So we'll just have to look ahead till next year. Now it's one of those things, just look ahead till next year. Hear from a couple more players. I think I had a chance to talk with Le'Veon Bell, and he gave credit. He gave a lot of credit to Michigan State. I mean, to Notre Dame.
I feel like we played good as an offense. You know, we just had long field to go, and we didn't really get great field position. You know, you got to credit the special teams. They made great plays and pinning us deep. You know, most of the game, and then when we did get decent field position, we didn't capitalize. That's something we got to do. And as offense, we're young on the offensive side, and we're going to keep getting better. It's not going to define us. We're going to go out there and square our butts off and keep getting better.
Okay. Let's hear from what you say we got Le'Veon Bell for got to improve, right? Oh, we just played that. Okay. So let's hear from Coach D'Antonio about the Irish and how Notre Dame played the game.
They kept us off balance, I felt. You know, we had the quarterback a couple times back there. He got out of problems, as I said. They threw the ball deep on us, and tested us. But didn't really hit them, but hit a couple intermediate ones. But they just kept us off. They got us out of tempo a little bit. And then, we've got to be able to – we stopped the run. I thought we did that. But they got the ball on the perimeter. They were in a lot of empty formations. We got the ball on the perimeter some a little bit. We missed some tackles and things of that nature. But we hung in there on defense. but we didn't come up with the turnovers and we didn't have a lot of negative yardage plays, I didn't feel. You know, we were three and out a number of times in the game, maybe five times or more overall. But you have to look at the whole thing and say, as a group, the whole, you know, what do we do as a group? They had a short field twice, you know, in the first half. They got the two touchdowns on two short fields. It's a sudden change situation, so they got to drive 50 yards. They still shouldn't score a touchdown. That's not an excuse for not to score a touchdown. They had a hand back draw, as I said earlier, for about 30 yards, which is what we practiced all week. You know, they hit it. But that was the big play in that one. I can't even remember what the big play in the first one was, but there was one.
Yes, and Notre Dame hit some big plays against Michigan State, that's for sure. And we have one more cut here from Andrew Maxwell. Here's Maxwell giving, he basically gave a lot of credit to Notre Dame as well.
Pressure tonight, Andrew, it seemed like a lot of throws hurried. Did you feel that you had a good look downfield?
You know, obviously when you have a front seven like they have and they can get a lot of pressure without sending a lot of blitzes, that's going to cause some problems for an offense. But I got to go back and watch the film, but I feel like a couple of them I rushed. A couple of them the protection was better than maybe I perceived it to be, and I rushed my read a little bit, and that's just going to come with experience and getting more comfortable. But, you know, it's a good defensive team, and they put a lot of pressure on us.
Okay, and that was Andrew Maxwell talking about the Notre Dame game. And as a lot of people have been doing, fans, coaches, players, everyone has their own opinion about the game, that's for sure. And if you can call and express your opinion if you want, that's 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So, Aaron, what do you think as far as, you know, the Notre Dame game is over now, so we got to look ahead to next week to Eastern Michigan. What do you want to see them do and improve in their play against Eastern Michigan?
Basically, I just want to make sure that they, you know, stick with the basics.
Yes, if they can. Yeah, they got it. They've got to do that. They got to. Hopefully, they can play better. That's for sure.
Yeah, sorry, we had a phone call there. I had to take care of that. I think as Coach just said in that little clip there, you know, it's just doing the little things, missed tackles, you know, those kind of things. Just if those little things can add up to big things in the game. So if you can do those little things, great. Because those little things can come back and bite you in the butt come toward the end of the game. So, you know, work on those things. And then as far as Maxwell is concerned, just continue to improve in all phases. He's got a lot to learn, obviously, as he just mentioned. So, you know, those things, work on those things. That's what I look forward to.
Yes, I know that. Yeah, I know people would love to get Kirk Cousins back, but he's not coming back. He's had his 2 years, and everybody, as you all know, everybody has to move on. You graduate, or you just leave school for whatever reasons. So you know, Michigan State has got a few new players at key positions, and those players have to get better. I mean, that's the only thing you can hope for, is that they'll get better over the next few weeks. Hopefully, they'll be better by they should be better by Eastern Michigan to beat Eastern Michigan, but then they've got Ohio State. So in essence, they've just got to work on getting better every single week, every day. They've got to work on getting better. That's what football is. You know, and a lot of times you don't know how good you are or bad you are till you play someone. You practice against yourself. A lot of times you get a false sense of security. When you go up against other teams, that's when you find out how good you are or how poor you are. And that's what Michigan State has got to find out. How good are they or how poor are they? That's what they're going to be tested at, and what you're going to find out. Because, yes, you can practice against yourself, and you look great. You look great playing against yourself. You look great on offense and defense when you're playing against yourself. But how do other teams, how do you do against other teams? Is the other team slower or faster? How do they play? So that's always the challenge. So how do you look when you play an opponent? And that's what Michigan State is going to have to find out. How good are they, and how good can they play against some opponents? Most opponents are pretty good. Other than Eastern Michigan, after this, you know, when you start the Big Ten season, I don't think you can overlook anyone. You really can't. I mean, everybody has won some games already in the Big Ten. You know, they played some really softies. But, you know, once the Big Ten season starts, you know, everybody's going to be going against a good team every week. So it'll be interesting to see how much will the Spartans have to improve to be considered a title contender in the Big Ten. And that's what we'll have to look for. How much better can this team get? Let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Earl?
Yep.
You asked about the game yesterday, Detroit. I was very impressed. That game started at San Francisco was very frightening, man.
And yes, they are.
Hard and fast. They were powerful. But I saw Detroit did not back off a bit. They were nasty, man. They came right at them. And they got beat.
Yep.
But that was a game all the way to the last couple minutes.
Yeah, I mean, and, yes. San Francisco is one of the better teams in the NFL. No doubt about that. They're one of the better teams in the National Football League.
Yeah, you know, they're blocking, they're tackling. You know, that running back was incredible. I never seen a man so big that was so quick and balanced. He was impressive, man. I haven't paid attention to the NFL for a few years because of the bums that the Lions have been. But I'm back, man, and it's interesting. But I think San Francisco got an incredible team. But I think things are looking good for Detroit, man, because another thing, Earl, is that they were trying to force that run. One way or another, and it hit me today that, because it was so windy, maybe that's why they shied away from the passing. In a lot of situations where maybe they should have been passing, that's probably why they forced the run. And they started opening up holes. So I was very impressed with the team and the coaching on that.
And they should do better. I mean, hopefully Mikel LeSueur is everything is as good as he was at Illinois. Hopefully he'll be that. He hasn't played the game yet, so we're all hoping. But, you know, he's considered their big back, and he's got 14 games to show it now. So we'll be looking at that. But, yes, you know, they are a good team. They're not, you know, they still have holes. They got holes in the defensive backfield. But up front, they're pretty good.
Well, you know, the other thing they were saying in the office, but they had a lot of guys who were rejected from other teams playing, so they weren't at 100%. I mean, not that they would have won the game, but I there was a lot of things that were very interesting on that team, and I like the toughness. And I think football is first and foremost toughness. Finesse is good, but you got to finesse them together, you know. But I was very impressed, man, so things look good. Thanks a lot, man.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Yep, and the Lions did have some good looks that they showed us some good things that they did. But like anybody else, any football team, they've got to get better. You know, they've got to, they look good, but they got to get better. Michigan State didn't look that good, but they have to get better. So no matter whether you win or lose the game, you still have to continue working on getting better. That's the key to a season. You know, you can never rest on your laurels in the sport. If you won big or won by a good margin, you got to try to work just as hard to win by a better margin or a stronger margin the next week. Because what you did this week is history now. So what you did in this game, you got to work to get better in the next game. That's the key in sports. You've got to constantly work on getting better and improving over the year. It's a long season, and you play 12 different games, 12 individuals, and 12 by 12 different opponents. So can you beat those opponents when you get ready to match up with you against them in a certain game? So that's the challenge. That's the challenge for Michigan State. That's a challenge for the Lions, challenge for Michigan. You know, you're playing a different opponent every week. Can you get better and beat that team and put them down? And that's the key. And I should remind you one more time, if you want a chance to win tickets to the Eastern Michigan-Michigan State game, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000 for your chance to win tickets to Eastern Michigan and Michigan State next Saturday in Spartan Stadium. So 353-5000, area code 517 for your chance to win tickets to Eastern Michigan, Michigan State. We'll give the tickets away on Thursday right here on AM 870 WKR. So once again, give us a call for your chance to win tickets. Just register, and you know, we'll put you in the drawing for the tickets on Michigan State and Michigan State and Eastern Michigan. Once again, 353-5000, area code 517. We want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. We're coming your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. So come back and join us tomorrow. But we want you to make sure you have a very safe and a pleasant evening. And I'll hear you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.